Welcome in, everyone. We know there is a massive amount of information flying around right now, so this deep dive is tailored specifically for you just to cut through all that overload. I mean, imagine an algorithmic trading bot that is programmed to constantly cancel and resubmit orders, literally just to confuse the broader market.
Right, the other traders just freeze up because they can't figure out the bot's actual goal.
Exactly. Well, now imagine the U.S. military applying that exact same strategy, you know, this intentional paralyzing chaos, but to a major geopolitical conflict.
Yeah, and that is really the core doctrine behind Operations Epic Fury and Roaring Lion. Today is April 22, 2026, and our mission today is to decode how this U.S. strategy of predictable unpredictability against Iran shifted from a military tactic into a massive global economic shockwave.
Okay, let's unpack this. To see how that shift happened, we really have to look at the initial move on February 28. The U.S. launched these decapitation strikes, neutralizing Supreme Leader Khamenei and top military commanders, effectively taking out the very top of Iran's leadership structure overnight.
They did. And, you know, impartially speaking, the Pentagon initially framed this as a highly precise, clean operation. But if we look strictly at the ground reports, the reality clashed severely with that narrative.
Wait, really? Because they kept pushing that precision label.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, a Tomahawk strike hit the Shajara Tayeba school in Manab, which resulted in 175 civilian deaths. And the humanitarian fallout didn't stop there.
Right. I was actually reading about residents in Tehran reporting this toxic black rain pouring down on them after the strikes hit the fuel depots, so the collateral damage was immense.
It's absolutely devastating. And adding to all that confusion on the ground was this rapid policy whiplash coming out of Washington. The U.S. kept overturning its own justifications for the war.
Like, first the goal was stopping an imminent nuclear threat, right?
Exactly. But then just days later, the rhetoric completely shifted to demanding total regime change. And then by mid-March, they suddenly signaled they might actually accept a, quote, new supreme leader to replace Khamenei.
Wow. So it's like a sports team constantly changing the rules mid-game so the opponent's defense just freezes? They were trying to keep Iran's surviving factions paralyzed, which, to be fair, caused massive internal infighting. But this is where the strategy hits a wall, right?
It is, yeah, because they didn't really account for how Iran's military was actually wired to respond. Iran essentially had a dead man's switch in place.
Oh, you mean like pre-delegated orders?
Yes, exactly. This meant their regional proxy militias, the Axis of Resistance, didn't need top-down approval from Tehran to strike back. So even with the Iranian leadership totally fractured, these militias automatically launched hundreds of retaliatory drones and ballistic missiles across the region.
Because those automated strikes couldn't just be called off by a centralized leader, the battlefield instantly expanded. The conflict spilled directly into the water, specifically the Strait of Hormuz. Iran locked it down.
And suddenly you are paying for it because oil surged to $110 a barrel. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it hit the food supply just as hard.
Yeah, we saw a 32% spike in global urea fertilizer prices right during the critical spring planting season.
Right. Economists call this a rockets and feathers effect. So prices shoot up instantly like a rocket on the very first sign of panic, but they float back down agonizingly slowly like a feather, even if the crisis eases up.
That is so frustrating.
It is. But if you're wondering why this deep dive matters to you, well, this is it. This isn't just a distant conflict. It is directly repricing the geopolitical risk of the entire global supply chain and food systems.
But let's look at how the U.S. actually managed that economic fallout. Because I have to push back a bit on the supposed genius of this unpredictability doctrine. The U.S. Treasury launched economic fury, right? This blockade to starve the Iranian regime of revenue.
That was the stated goal, yes.
But then almost immediately, Washington reversed its own sanctions on certain Russian and Iranian oil shipments, literally just to lower domestic pump prices back in the States. If you constantly flip-flop on your own blockade, doesn't that prove the unpredictability is actually undermining your own goals?
You are hitting on the fundamental structural flaw of negotiated chaos right there. It exhausts the global market just as much as it exhausts the enemy. By constantly changing the rules, the U.S. totally spooked the private sector.
So the markets just froze.
Worse than that. Commercial insurance underwriters basically created their own blockade. They simply refused to cover ships going into the Gulf out of sheer fear of the unknown. And that was completely regardless of what the U.S. sanctions actually said on paper.
The unpredictability just broke the system. Which brings us to today, April 22. There is a Pakistani-brokered ceasefire extension on the table, but the chaos is still rippling outward.
Yeah, Iran just seized two ships, including the Epaminondas, proving that this strategy of disruption has created a very messy system-level disorder.
Right, the traditional diplomatic equilibrium we used to rely on, it simply doesn't exist anymore. So we want to leave you with a final thought to mull over straight from the source analysis.
And it's a critical one about the long-term impact.
Exactly. We are now in a scenario where the U.S. is forced to use incredibly expensive interceptors against extremely cheap Iranian drones. It proved the U.S. military can fight, sure, but if it can no longer guarantee the economic stability of its allies, could this conflict permanently diminish the U.S. dollar's dominance in global energy markets? If the rules can change on a whim, will the rest of the world still want to play the game? Something to explore on your own.